This is the lunchtime edition of the latest from Starcom Network News. In the headlines, two KFC employees injured in a shooting in St. George. Burke Committee reports that Barbados made strong progress under the IMF program, but some challenges still remain. The Road Safety Association calls for more police presence to tackle the issue of speeding in the city. Trinidad and Tobago's Prime Minister defends his decision to step down. And a major winter storm slams into the central plains of the United States, with forecasters saying it could be the country's biggest blizzard in 8 years. This is the latest. I'm Barry Wilkinson. Details coming up. Two employees of fast food chain KFC were injured in a shooting when the company vehicle in which they were traveling came under fire in the early hours of this morning. Starcom Network understands that the incident happened at South District St. George just before 2 a.m. Police said that about 1:55 a.m., a KFC car being used to take home workers stopped at South District near the Methodist Church to drop off a passenger when a white vehicle drove up alongside and someone inside discharged a number of rounds into the KFC car, injuring a 36-year-old driver and a 53-year-old employee who was in the front seat. Both individuals were shot several times and have been taken to the QEH and were taken to the QEH via ambulance. Police responded to the scene and are seeking the identity and to capture the assailants. Barbados continues to perform well under its 36-month IMF program, but challenges like cybersecurity, issues, and efforts to boost economic competitiveness remain concerns. This is according to the latest report from the Barbados Economic Recovery and Transformation Plan Monitoring Committee. Chairman Tricia Tanis highlighted the country's strong economic growth, noted that all the benchmarks on the BERT 2.0 for the six-month period ending September 24 were met.
For this period, there has been strong real growth in GDP and continued moderation of the rate of inflation. There was a significant increase in total revenue earned by the government of Barbados in the period under review. Total revenue exceeded the prior year period by $385 million, driven primarily by additional collection of tax revenue of $356.6 million. Tax revenue was boosted mainly by collection of corporation and property taxes. During this period, expenditure increased by $141.6 million, attributed to interest rate, capital expenditure, and transfers to public institutions. As a result of the extremely strong revenue performance, despite the expenditure increase, the primary balance at the end of September was about 4% of GDP. Overall, on the fiscal and monetary front, the government of Barbados continues to meet the targets under the arrangements.
She says challenges like cybersecurity issues and private sector concerns about investment incentives persist, and going forward, focus should be boosting the economic competitiveness.
The BERT Monitoring Committee notes the ongoing challenges, particularly in relation to cybersecurity breaches. As I highlighted in our prior report, elements of the newly announced concessions framework require particular attention to ensure that the anticipated benefits of the regime materialize. Private sector engagement on the announced ceilings in value and timeline for concessions is vital, given the nature and timing of development costs for new projects and the potential impact on the continued viability of projects previously granted concessions that are now being renegotiated. The need for a stable framework being applied consistently for investors considering making the large capital allocation decisions needed for the continued growth and diversification of the economic activity sources our economy requires cannot be understated.
That's Chairman of the Barbados Economic Recovery and Transformation Plan and Monitoring Committee, Tricia Tanis. Member of Parliament for St. Lucie, Peter Phillips, has promised Barbadians that while We Gathering begins in the Northern Parish, the entire island is being included for the opening of the spectacle. Mr. Phillips says no information will be withheld from the public as activities have kicked off.
We will be updating you on a weekly basis of all those events that will be taking place, simply because every day the excitement is so high that we are getting persons, people from the same shops that you spoke about, Minister, the small business owners and so on. They are coming and they are saying, I want to be part of that.
MP for St. Lucie, Peter Phillips. The Road Safety Association says there is a need for the return of a heavier police presence to deal with the issue of speeding in the city. Its president, Roland Lowe, was responding to concerns from a store owner whose business suffered extensive damage when a car crashed into the establishment at the corner of Wharf Road and Hick Street recently. He tells the Starcom Network News there is no need for new regulations, but for officers to be on hand to enforce the law.
Well, in relation to the city, I think that it's enough regulation relative to the reduction in the speed or the speed management. Things are already in place. The only other thing that can be done is a heavier police, or as my colleague Erskine Combach had mentioned in some other forums, is like the inspectors who used to be on the road, in terms of that heavier presence, injection of more inspectors or inspectors back on the road to help enforce the rules.
He also made an appeal to drivers to take personal responsibility for their driving habits.
The main thing is personal responsibility. You know what the rules are in place. You know that they're there, then adhere to the rules. Drive at the speeds that are mandated for driving in the city. I same for the highway, drive at the speed that is mandated for the highway and for regular roads. Just adhere to the rules. Personal responsibility plays a great part in the situations that we see occurring on the road, or in the idea of preventing these things from happening.
That's President of the Road Safety Association, Roland Lowe, in the lunchtime edition. Trinidad and Tobago's Prime Minister, Dr. Keith Rowley, last night defended his decision to step down as leader of the People's National Movement, PNM, in the next general election, constitutionally due this year. Dr. Rowley addressed the media after a walkthrough in his constituency.
They talk to my colleagues in the parliament. I tell them all the time, don't fall in love with these jobs. You know? Don't fall in love with them. There are times when you have to leave them. But it was difficult for people to accept that sitting leader would walk away. And it is being said more and more now that what is happening now has not happened before. And that is good, because it didn't happen before doesn't mean that it's not something that should or could happen. So we are all into a new situation. It's new for me. I've never done this before. I have taken this direction. As I said, I am not going to be staying on until 2026, that's for sure. Okay? And if I'm required to go earlier than my own thoughts, I will do so.
Trinidad and Tobago's Prime Minister, Dr. Keith Rowley. A major winter storm that broke snowfall records in the Midwest is now hitting the Mid-Atlantic. Fox's Peter Allen has more.
More than 3,000 flights have been canceled nationwide since Saturday, with hundreds of thousands without power because of freezing rain and ice. Now Maryland, along with D.C. and parts of Virginia, are expecting between 6 and 12 inches of snow by the time this wraps up. Already more than 6 inches in D.C. alone as of right now. That has prompted officials to close all federal offices for the day today. Before the storm moved to the East Coast, it hit parts of the Midwest hard. Snow falling at 1 to 2 inches per hour at times, making travel nearly impossible. Yesterday, Kansas City received 11 inches of snow, which is their snowiest day in more than 60 years.
Fox's Peter Allen. U.S. President Joe Biden has announced a ban on new offshore oil and gas drilling alongside most of America's coastline weeks before Donald Trump takes office. The ban covers the entire Atlantic coast and eastern Gulf of Mexico, as well as the Pacific coast of California, Oregon and Washington, and a section of the Bering Sea off Alaska. It is the latest in a string of last-minute climate policy actions by the Biden administration ahead of Donald Trump's return to the White House. Biden is taking the action under the Outer Continental Shelf Lands Act of 1953, which allows U.S. presidents to withdraw areas from mineral leasing and drilling. The law does not grant presidents and legal authority to overturn prior bans, according to a 2019 court ruling. It means a reversal will likely require an act of Congress, which is now controlled by Trump's Republicans. Our top stories. Two KFC employees injured in a shooting in St. George. BERT committee reports that Barbados made strong progress under the IMF program, but some challenges still remain. The Road Safety Association calls for more police presence to tackle the issue of speeding in the city. Trinidad and Tobago's Prime Minister defends his decision to step down. And a major winter storm slams into the central plains of the United States, with forecasters saying it could be the country's biggest blizzard in 8 years. That was the lunchtime edition of The Latest, produced by Ricardo Roberts. Starcom Network, a member of the OCN Group. I'm Barry Wilkinson. Good afternoon.
Don't miss the latest with the Starcom Network news at your fingertips. Listen or catch up on starcomnetwork.net. WhatsApp Admi to 246-256-6397 to receive breaking news. Like and follow at Starcom Network News on Instagram and Facebook now.